All right, as you see, the delta, the theta. Now, a day in America, the technique of relaxation and meditation be applied into many different fields, not only in the healthcare for treatment the disease in this lifetime. By taking advantage on this state of our brain wave, the hypnotic therapy can induce the patient into this state to help them to treat the disease carry over from the past life, as we already learned about the storage consciousness. And the issue, because about 15 to 20 years ago, the psychiatric in America, they got stuck in many patients. For example, the patient have a feeling of get stuck whenever she drink the water or eating, especially when she in the small room or dark room. After checkup by X-ray, MRI, CT scan, blood test, everything normal, they send the patient through the psychologist. Couldn't find out anything, could not resolve the problem. And then send it through the psychiatric. Psychiatric could not do anything. Luckily, this psychiatric is a professor in the university, and he practiced meditation, and he got some experience in this state, and he learned a lot in the sutra. And he think about something connects in the past, or maybe it at a very young age. As we know, we have a certain marker on our brain from the age about 2 or 3 years old, the age around 7 to 8 when we first expose and have a knowledge about the nature or the environment. Around the 13 or 14 when the hormone will be developed, so distinguish between boy and girl. For and then the time when we graduate from the high school to start into the college or university, the time when we first met our love, and the time when we get married or get the new, the first work, the first job. So the doctor, the psychiatrist, will take the patient back to certain mark to see any problem it hit on the patient brain or not. He lead the patient back slowly until the year of the age of 2 years old, still could not find any problem. And luckily, he let the patient back in the placenta when the first sign of conception, still could not find any problem. And he, with the assistance of the spiritual life from the nature, he brought the patient back to the last scene from the past life. And this lady be killed by someone broken her neck. That's why that last event, and she struggled for her life too strong, and that image and that information carry on to the storage consciousness, to the new life. And from that time, he do a lot of study, and he had a few thousand cases. The technique developed slowly, and more technology support for that. And more patients come from everywhere in America and around the world. So he wrote the book, and he found a new institute to train for people access into this field to help patients physically, mentally, psychology, and spiritually. And it helped a lot of patients. So it can help us to know not only the past life, it can go back to a few thousand years. And now it has another branch that means access the life between life. That means the time when we not go down to the earth for reincarnation, the time when we stay in the universe somewhere out up there. It looks like now we have an internet, and we have a thousand and thousand of the library in the middle of the air, but we don't know where's that, right? Where are the image? Where are the information? No one can point out, no one can show it. But whenever we need, we access and we can pull it down. We can download it.
Is that called the Akashic Records?
Huh?
Is that called the Akashic Records? Is there a name for that?
They call that regression.
Regression?
Yeah, the regression. Regression technique. So that means it takes the patient back into the past and it divides by two different branches. One, to access the patient when they incarnate and what they do, where their family, who the family member, who the relative in that certain lifetime. And the other branch just access the information at the time between the reincarnation, what they do over there, up there. And lastly, this is the advantage and disadvantage of our sleep cycle. At the first 30 minutes, our brain wave is very slow, at the opposite to the very active during the daytime. That is two sides of the phenomena. But after 30 to 45 minutes, we fall into a deep sleep, and what the scientists call that the REM, rapid eye movement, right? So during that period of time, our pupil, our eye, it moves really fast. And you know, when it moves fast like that, the brain wave has to move accordingly. So that's why we waste a lot of energy being recharged through that period of time. And also, we are already talking about how much we are being affected by the electrical magnetic field in the air. Because during the daytime, our brain waves fast like that, and we are not practiced coming back to ourselves to close the field, the circuit, we be affected a lot already. During the night time, we are living in unconsciousness. And when we fall into the deep sleep in the REM state, our brain wave is much faster. And that's why it be connected and be affected much, much more unconsciously, and we never know. So all of the bad negative energy, bad information, it get into star consciousness. Not many people know. So that's why we get upset, we get sick, we get stimulated, we get anxiety, all kind of that, because of electromagnetic field interfere during the deep, the REM state of sleep. And it wastes a lot of our energy. Totally different with we are sitting in relaxation or in meditation. The longer we sit, the quiet our brain wave, and it just maintain the same rate. It just prolong the duration, and we still in alert, awake, not in unconscious. Because when we drop down here, it will be in unconsciousness. When we go up here, that is too much stimulation. When we sit in relaxation, meditation, it maintains the same pattern. That's why 1 hour of sitting meditation is equal to 2 to 3 hours sleeping, because it not really waste much energy retract. It not waste much energy for the mind projection, the weight and sending out. So this is to confirm the advantage of the new technology and advantage of relaxation meditation in the therapy for all the chronic disease, or for the application to maintain good shape and peaceful mind during the daily life. And on Friday, I already mentioned we have 10 to 12 different system organs in our body. But the reason we just concentrate on two most important, that is the brain cell and the liver cell. The reason, because our liver represents for the material or the visible, the most important visible organ, and the brain cell representative for the invisible energy and function. Every single activity, big or small, visible or invisible, we want to lift our hand, take a step, or just a very tiny thought, idea, originate in our brain. Therefore, if we not careful to protect, to preserve that, it will damage the headquarters, the initiation of all activity. So if we skip breakfast or overeating, will damage our brain cell. Smoke, not only smoking, but when we expose to any kind of smoke, because it have carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide and many toxic gas, especially when we smoke, it have the nicotine, and the nicotine is very toxic, and it make the blood vessel be shrink smaller, and it gets stuck for any particle in our brain and will damage the area behind that or the organ below that. And sugar consumption, this is the new toxin for the 20th century, because it not only make our blood become acidic, but it also stimulate our mind and make it scattering. Lacking sleep, or sleep when we cover our head, this is easy, because when we not have enough sleep, the brain don't have the time to relax or to retract the energy. When we cover our head during the sleeping time, all the carbon dioxide we exhale, and then we inhale again. So that means the concentration of oxygen saturation be reduced. If oxygen saturation be reduced, our brain cell will dullen, will be toxic. So that's why it's no good. Air pollution easy. Working while we are sick or weakness. This one will make our brain cell overwork, because when it's sick, when it be weakness, if we asking it to work more, that means it's overwhelming. So it will be weaker. So that is the first organ, the headquarters, responsible for invisible activity. The second one, the liver.
Excuse me, you just missed out.
Yeah, that's the common sense. Because if we, our brain cell responsible for initiate thought and activity. So as we already discussed yesterday, every single creation or phenomena, if it wants to survive or exist, it needs food or energy, right? So the food for our eyes is the image, the color. The food for our ear is the sound. The food for our brain cell is the thought, the conversation, or the action. Because it is the headquarter, it initiates all activity. From the invisible energy, it will send to the physiology. And from physiology, okay, it goes to the physical. So if we exercise or we do the activity on the physical level, it has to go to the intermediate, that means the psychology and the physiology. So if we do directly stimulation, it will have more benefit. But and then again, we also learn that whatever we go to too extreme, no good. If we talk too much, if we be thinking or be stimulated too much, it makes our brain cell damaged or tired. If we don't do that, we don't provide energy, we don't let it active, slowly, okay, it will withdraw its function.
So it mustn't be too excited.
Yeah.
The brain mustn't become too excited.
Too excited, too sadness, too depressed, no good.
Yeah.
Overwork, no good.
No.
Don't work, no good.
But a brain that's too excited doesn't equate with the Buddhist way either, does it? Because it's meant to be calm. It's got to be, like you're saying,
but
not an excited mind, just a stimulated mind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's why lack stimulation. That means, okay, if some people, they are too depressed, they go too extreme. You say, when you live in the daily life, you working, you overwork, overthinking, and you brainstorm too much, and you feel tired. And now you say, okay, I already overworked, so better now I withdraw completely. They think that we were a good solution, but actually not. When we withdraw for a while, and then, okay, shut down, and then no longer can do the activity. And for the liver, as we already mentioned yesterday, because our liver is the headquarters for the digestive system, right? That is the main thing. And all of the food we eat, the ring we drink, it has to be supported by the digestive fluid in the gallbladder and in the liver. It's the first side. Also, the liver responsible for detoxify, convert all the toxin substance into the less toxic substance and eliminate out our body. It also conjunction help hand in hand with the spleen to produce blood cell. It also helps the immune system to regulate the lymphatic. It also helps to regulate the body temperature and many, many activities, but first the digestive system. If the digestive system going wrong, have many toxins, the other organ system, circulation, respiratory elimination, urinary tract will have the consequence of that. So that's why if the liver has any problem, it will interfere to many different organs. So that's why we need to protect the liver. And we will learn tomorrow why when we stay up or waking up too late, it will create a problem for our body in general or as specific as for the liver and gallbladder. We not have urination or bathroom toilet in the morning, it can cause the toxin build up in the GI tract or in the blood, and that makes the liver damaged. We skip breakfast or we overeat, the same thing, too extreme. When we don't eat breakfast, we don't provide energy for the body. So the body has to go to the storage, take out the reserve and reburn it. When we overeat, the liver has to work more to produce more digestive fluid. And then it has to work extra to synthesize the glycogen. It has to work extra to synthesize cholesterol at the storage. And when we eat raw food or the overcooked food, still had a problem for the liver. As we already explained this morning, when we eating raw food, our liver in the headquarter try to produce the enzyme to break down the cellular molecular. But because of the human being doesn't have that capacity. But because of when we already take it in, our body try its best to do something, to extract some nutrition out. But after it's dry and try, waste a lot of energy, still not extract much nutrition. So overall, it get tired, it overworked. As well as when we overcook food, when we overcook food, it have a many different mechanism. It affected the liver. First, when it overcooked, the food is too soft, so the liver doesn't have to work much, right? And if it not work awfully, and it become dull, like our brain. If it not exercise, not work for a while, and it become weaker. The other mechanism, when we overcook our food, when we put the food together, especially when we combine too many different ingredients, it will become more clumsy, coagulate at the very complicated substance, hard to digest, and the liver had to work more to produce the enzyme to chop up that complex compound. You see? And also, when we overcook, as we know, even though most of the food we had that is from the natural or inorganic, but it still had a chemical structure. The more chemical we put it in with the heat, the stimulant, and now it make it become some toxic substance. The more we cook, the more product it coming out, and some product is unpredictable. And the liver function, it has to detox the body when the toxin building up. So that's why when we overcook, the liver still has to do more work to detox the toxin in our body. Consuming processed food with preservative, additive, color, and taking medication, all this one just bring more burden, more chemical, more toxin into our body. The liver has to work more. So this is common sense. When we get sick, when we tired, definitely you see most of the animal, a dog, a cat, or anyone in the nature, when it feel weak, the first thing they do, stop eating, find a quiet place to rest, right? So the same thing, we are the human being, the advanced animal. We should doing that. But sometimes the caretaker, the caregiver, asks us to take the medication, try to eat more. So that means opposite, make it more tired, make the burden become harder, heavier. See?
Could you just explain, I didn't really understand that not urinate early in the morning, why that can be toxic?
It's simple. Because, you know, after 6 hours of sleeping, okay, especially, okay, we will learn about the cleansing process in our body. During the time when we sleep, our body continue to detox the body to get rid of the toxin. So some go into the intestinal through the feces. Some go through the urine, right? So if early in the morning, that means after 4 to 6 hours, the toxic level very high, very concentrated. And if early in the morning we not go to the toilet to discard that, now the concentration of the toxin in the bladder and in the sigmoid will be higher than in the bloodstream. The gradient will go down, go back to your blood, go back to your cell, so that it no good, right? So it already worked to get out, and now you don't eliminate it. It will re-penetrate into the blood, and the liver has to do again the same job. Overwork.
Thank you.
Alright, thank you very much. We should stop here, take a break.